This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Power Talk with Eldrin St-Pierre. Weekdays 9 a.m. to noon on Power 98.7.
Okay, so from that poll that was run by Power Breakfast, which is now final, the final results are as follow. In light of the Hawks arrest of Prophet Bushiri and the Omotoso trial, what do you think is the reason behind the strong support of controversial faith-based leaders? 8% says religious beliefs, 6% they are being targeted, and 86% believes it is blind following. So I'm going to start off with Zamo Mbele, who has to rush off. Zamo, good morning and welcome to Power Talk.
Good morning, and good morning to all your listeners.
Thank you so much for making time for us at such short notice as well. Just help us understand the psyche around when you love. I don't even know whether it is love, but there's that sense of admiration that's there, that even if this person is accused of wrongdoing, you could never see that. What causes that?
Sure. So I'm going to try and speak about this from two levels, from kind of an individual perspective as well as from a group perspective. Mm-hmm. So of course, before we even get into that, there are many, many, many explanations, psychological, social, etc. So I'm going to limit myself, right, and if we appreciate that. So I think the first thing that I wanted to reflect on is that I think it can be incredibly seductive and very power-giving to have a powerful leader. And I think very many individuals need to have this one person and or this one institution which is omnipotent or very powerful and can do whatever the person fantasizes on their behalf, right? And then I think the individual can invest in that. And through that investment, there's a sense of safety, there's security. There's also a belief that everything will be okay to the extent that this one person or this institution is around and I am for it and it is for me. So you can see already how the unconscious or the psychology of somebody can really indulge or find a home in this idea of an all-powerful person or institution, and that the alternative, if that is the state of mind, the alternative can be so scary. Because if that person or that institution is vulnerable to very many things, including malice, doing bad things, or vulnerable to other authorities, that means that they are not safe, and therefore me as an individual is also not safe and is vulnerable. And that can be not just devastating by virtue of the deep anxiety that it can cause, life-changing kind of philosophical anxiety, but can also be incredibly depressing because it means you are vulnerable to the elements of the world and so on and so forth. Now, I was speaking on an individual level there, so just bear with me for 2 seconds.
Okay.
On a group level, what we also know is that groups are incredibly important. The groups can be incredibly powerful as well. And part of what can happen in a group are 2 things. One of them is something that we kind of refer to as groupthink. That's the most accessible way to speak about it.
Mm.
With the thinking of the group supersedes the thinking of the individual. And this can be so powerful to the degree that an individual can put aside and actually deny, as in it's not possible to contemplate what they may hold as moral truth or as rational thought or logic or objective analysis, and relies rather on whatever the group thinks in many ways. And it happens all the way from sports teams to national allegiances and so on and so forth. And those are more benign examples. But you can see that at times in religious beliefs, it can be quite powerful and dangerous in many ways, where you put aside your own ability to think about something and you rely on that of the group. And the last thing is that, of course, because a group is important and it's something that we inherently gravitate towards, there can be a danger in going against the group and the group leader, because it means that you will be cast out and you'll be pushed out. And for many people, when there's such a reliance, and it's evolutionary to some degree, though it's mostly psychological, on belonging to a group, that fear of being excommunicated, pushed out, not belonging to something, can be much more powerful, that fear, than actually standing up to something or being able to appreciate an ordinary truth.
So does this then mean that with both the individual and both with when we think about the group thinking and the group approach, there is a sense of like the person feels there is number one self-worth that you find in it, which then becomes also that it is also selfish in its sense that this thing is serving me. It is about me as the individual as well.
Absolutely. So there are two things there that maybe we can point to. One of them is, and I speak very delicately, but if you find an individual who perhaps does not have enough cohered and constructed a sense of self, the reliance on the group identity is so important. It's life-saving. But you can see how that can be manipulated, right? If you haven't kind of fully constructed and know you as an individual, and you need and rely on a group identity to know who you are, then you're going to rely on that group identity, and nothing can disturb it or disrupt it at all. So the second point to what you're speaking about is that if there's an idealization or this kind of idea that this group is amazing,
Yeah.
and once again, sometimes it's benign,
Because you find
it's
that in
supporting a
sports as
team.
well, right?
Exactly,
Yeah.
exactly. You can kind of overlook, excuse both consciously and unconsciously things that are wrong, just so that you can belong to that what you think is the right team and or the right group. In many ways. So group belonging and think is not altogether a bad thing. It allows us to be part of many communities. However, it can have its absolute malignancy or its kind of deep negativity and its destructiveness, as we are potentially seeing in cultness.
Okay, and just finally, what about the individual, the one who, and I'm not saying that Bushiri is manipulating his congregants, I'm not saying that at all, but what is it about the leader who knows that there are these people and their vulnerabilities that he's able to tap into?
Yeah, and we can say very many things about a kind of malicious group leaders and potentially cult leaders. Very, very many things about it. However, one of the things maybe to mention now is that one of the common elements that you find oftentimes in cult leadership or blind group followings, etc., is an element of anti-socialism or antisocial personality disorder. And there again, I mean, there are very many things to elaborate. But for our conversation today, it might be important to highlight that person feels the most powerful when they are also followed by a group of people who render themselves the most vulnerable to that particular person. And part of the dynamics is trying to find yourself in a space where you are all powerful by virtue of having lots of people around you who subject themselves vulnerably to your power. And you almost thrive on that power, on that ability to control not just what's going on, but the minds and hearts of those people around you. So that manipulation is oftentimes based in the relationship between power and vulnerability.
Thank you so much for that, Zamo. Really appreciate it. Zamo Mbele, a clinical psychologist there, speaking to us about the psyche around what he calls group thinking, and also the individual's sense of identity and how that can be manipulated. So now, how does this then intersect with theology and how we understand theology? We'll be joined by Sifiso Kuzwayo, as I've indicated, the minister, a minister at the Methodist Church of Southern Africa. Also, Tamsanqa Mvambo, who is the Secretary General National Interfaith Council of South Africa. Sfiso, let's start off with you. Good morning and welcome to Power Talk.
Hi, good morning, Adrian, and good morning to your listeners as well.
Thank you so much for making time for us. Tamsanqa, good morning to you as well.
Morning to the listeners and the other panelists.
Thank you so much. Tamsanqa, what is it about theology and what it teaches? Because there is a sense of power that you get from it, because there is wisdom that is inculcated, right? But that wisdom then also can be abused.
Yes. What tends to happen in most instances is that people study theology for purposes of trying to understand and relate to the supernatural. But remember that they are guided by certain principles and a particular either book or a belief system. Now, what happens is that in the process, you try to become logical when you try to explain things, so that things that are at times beyond human understanding.
Thompson, your line isn't that great. We're going to try and put you back to the producers and get you in a different line. Let's go to Sfiso in the meantime. Sfiso, the same question to you around theology, the wisdom that is being taught, and how that wisdom can be manipulated because of the power that it holds.
All right. Thank you. For me, the starting point, more than just the study of theology as such, lies more in the gifts that people have within themselves, gifts which are beyond just a particular religion.
Yeah.
And in this particular case, you then find people finding a way through theology or religion to practice the gifts that they have within themselves. And a misreading sometimes of those giftings and a misinterpretation of theology then leads to one forming sects which might be dangerous in the long run for the well-being of those who choose to follow a particular charismatic leader, more than it just being a theology issue.
Okay, so it's important to recognize, number one, that there is a gift.
Yes.
Okay, Thamsanqa.
Yes, am I clear?
Yeah, you're much better now. Yeah.
Okay. I think my colleague has just given partly a definition of how theology relates to what we are discussing today.
Yeah.
But I think what is key for me is that the problem is with people who then overstretches it. Because when you have a gift, but you also have an ambition of being manipulative or seeing yourself as being beyond what is understandable according to what is acceptable, it becomes a problem. And this is how people sometimes tend to cultism, because cults do not just come out of nowhere. They develop out of a particular situation and an environment that allows those leaders to do whatever they want with whatever following that they have. So when that point, when it reaches that point, it becomes a problem in a sense that this leader, they in actual fact then use their influence over the minds of people and manipulation to can sway them to a direction to believe in anything that they say. And that is what is a problem. And cults actually are not a new phenomenon. They have always been there throughout history. We have had cultic leaders who would actually make rules, and at a later stage, when it suits them, they change them to suit their own interest and whatever they want to achieve.
Yeah.
So it is all about manipulation and playing with the minds of people. Yeah. That is a key.
Would you say that at the root of that is also a sense of, this is now speaking about the cult aspect of it, that there is a sense of, I want to be powerful, so I want access to power, and because I want access to power, I'm willing to go a step further in even manipulating people so that I have this sense of what Ulento called earlier on, people who have rendered themselves vulnerable. So you have these people who have rendered themselves vulnerable, but when you are able to bring them all together, it gives you a sense of power, you as the individual, as the leader.
Exactly. And it does not only end there. It ends with you testing them to try and check and see who is more loyal to you, so that you actually use those ones to be able to achieve your own ends. Now, it is quite interesting, because when you look at how cults develop. They ensure that there is so much blind loyalty towards them to a point where they actually replace what they actually were teaching people.
Yeah.
If it was about God, then they become demigods.
Mm-hmm.
They are like, if you want to talk about this superpower or this superstructure that we are sometimes relating to God, they are like second to that. So your access to God, or for you to hear what God is saying, it must come through them and only through them.
Mm-hmm.
There can't be any other opinion outside them.
Yeah.
The only opinion that you must listen to, it is theirs.
Even if it's in contrary to the teachings.
Even if it's contrary to the teaching. Hence, I was saying, they even change the same teachings to suit whatever objective. We've listened to cult leaders when they actually can read from, even quoting scriptures, whether it's in the Quran, it's in the Bible, or it's in the Torah, whatever, wherever they will quote it, but you can hear the distortion of that same scripture. Mm.
Can you give us an example?
Around. Let me make an example about something that actually happened, because I was following that too much.
Yeah.
There are these leaders who were actually initially emphasizing on the issue of you getting married and being loyal to, or you being loyal to one woman.
Mm-hmm.
But once he's able to capture people's minds, he's able to turn it and say, no, but there is a verse that justifies me from changing to that kind of one woman thing, and quote something that will justify why I'm now opting or taking a decision that you can have more than one woman. So that's part of the example.
Yeah.
Just changing the rules. But remember, what attracted people to this particular leader is because he was teaching. I'm not saying those who are talking about more than one woman, if they started believing in that, it's fine.
Mm.
But this particular one, he actually was teaching something. But later on, contrary to what he was teaching, he now changes the rules. He says, now I start believing in this, and all of you must follow suit.
Yeah.
And then people will just follow blindly.
Okay, so we'll be taking your calls on 0861-987-000, your tweets at Aldrin St. Pierre, hashtag Power Talk, and also you can tweet at Power FM 987. We'll be taking those calls just after Power News headlines. Just want to read some of the tweets that we have so far. Mongezi says that alongside religion and the study of theology, are there ethics in place that govern how they use the power granted by, quote, the cloth? And who enforces these ethics? How do we determine the fine line between religion and cult? And that's the question that I wanted to ask Usfiso when we come back from Power News headlines. That how do you identify that this is actually a cult? Because there is also competition amongst religious leaders, that I have the biggest church, I have the biggest following. And politics is always at play, even within religion. There's no doubt that for somebody like Bushiri, this is how you show, it's a show of force and a show of might as well. Like, look at the people who follow me. Because he has never come out to say that, no, don't come outside the court, please stay at home, and what, you know? Did he ever sit down with the leaders of the church? Like, no, don't bring people to the court. Let people go to work, let people go find jobs, because that is important. It's 10:30, time for Power News Headlines.
Speak up. Call the Power Line on 0861-987-000.
And you can also tweet at Aldrin St. Pierre, hashtag Power Talk, and also tweet at Power FM 987. We're in conversation with Sfiso Kuzwayo, a minister at the Methodist Church of Southern Africa, also Thamsanqa Mvambo, who is the Secretary General at the National Interfaith Council of South Africa. Sfiso, so the question earlier on was around how do you identify a cult? What are the characteristics of a cult?
Right, thank you. A cult basically is a group that is formed around a particular individual charismatic leader who sets out the rules of the game, and those are changeable as time goes on. But the rules, in this instance, the rules may be those of a Christian faith, and as time goes on, the the belief becomes no longer about Jesus or God, but then begins to be about the particular leader mm-hmm. and the things that the leader says and that the leader wants to be done and the way in which they are done. Then it becomes cultic in terms of the practices that are then instituted in this particular grouping or sect. Mm-hmm. I prefer the word sect because it's slightly more open than cultic. For instance, here, people are now being asked to then give their money in hope that they will get a greater return without being told where the return is going to be coming from. And it's just a faith in the leader that is going to make things happen. Mm-hmm. That's when those kind of cults or sects become problematic.
Okay. Tom Sangla, your take on that?
I think I concur with my colleague mm-hmm. Because this is all about this particular individual. Mm-hmm. Remember I said that he actually makes the rules. He later on changes the rules. And he becomes, in actual fact, the replacer. That's why I was referring to them as mm-hmm. becoming like demigods. What they say, it is them who are closer to whatever belief system and its supremeness. Mm-hmm. And they start representing it. And whatever they are saying, it is like God has spoken or whatever power that they believe in has spoken. And you cannot question it, because if you question it, it means you are challenging the belief system itself.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it makes people to be blinded,
yeah.
But it also has to do with manipulation. And remember, some of these cultic leaders actually operate with threats. If you question them, it means something is going to happen to you. If you try to challenge them, it means you are trying to challenge the power that actually is the one that controls him. And therefore, whatever questions that you are asking when you try to be logical, it means you are saying that you are either challenging that force or you are trying to destabilize the mission and objective of whatever he wants to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
So they also operate with this element of saying to people, you don't have a right to think your way.
Yeah.
You shut down your mind. You only listen to what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And I am not speaking. The power that is behind me is the one that says, I must say this. So you are not challenging me. You are challenging the power that actually, which they will often refer to as a gift. You are challenging the one who has given me this gift. Therefore, a threat will always accompany that.
Yeah.
I mean, listen to their responses. It's quite interesting if you look at the present cases. You will find women, as you indicated earlier,
yeah.
Women marching against something that is being done to other women,
mm-hmm.
which is not correct.
Mm-hmm.
And then these women follow there blindly because they believe that they will not dispute that he did not do it. But some of them, remember, when they do it, they will say, they will justify it when during the act. They justify it as if it is an instruction.
Yeah.
But now, they don't want to be held accountable for their actions.
Okay. Okay.
And this is where now the problem is.
Okay, let's go to the power line, 061-987-000. Your tweets at Aldrin St. Pierre. You can also tweet at PowerFM987. Lebu, good morning.
Hi, Aldrin. So this is just to speak to the earlier point about Christians. You know, to the most part, hey, I blame us as the people in the church or the so-called Christians for not being critical thinkers and just subjecting ourselves to all of this nonsense that some of these pastors, or let me actually say so-called pastors, do. You know, why would God give us a brain if we are not meant to think and just believe in, no, it's the power behind that inspired me to do this or say this or actually con you into giving all your money or whatever it is, or eat grass, you know?
Mm.
What happened to us as being people who think and actually test all these things to see if it's actually, does it hold against the word of God or what we believe in before I apply it, you know? Doesn't mean if you are in a position of power, whatever you say to me applies and it goes.
Yeah.
I have the brain to think, let me test these things first. Does it really apply to does it really apply to what I believe in? And if not, sorry, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
And if it does, yes.
Yeah. But you see, Libo, what you're doing is that you're applying logic, right? So if someone comes to you and says that I have this gift, and you believe that this person has this gift, and he says that this gift comes from the Almighty, yes. I think that probably what then happens is that you also, you try to stay clear of questioning this person's intentions, you know. So even if they make you eat the grass, you wouldn't question it, because this person has the gift, like what Tamsanga was saying, and that's where the manipulation then comes in.
But if okay, so I'm going to talk from a Christian perspective who reads the Bible and actually, you know, studies the Bible.
Yeah.
Okay. Everything that a pastor will say, if this pastor is speaking the truth, if this pastor is being inspired or has the gift from God, I can test that against the word of God. Always. Always that. There's always, always, always ways to prove from the word of God, is this true? Is this what God prescribes? Is this what the reality is? Okay? I don't take away from the fact that some experiences are spiritual and we can't explain. But for the most part of it, some things are very logical. Let us talk. I was very embarrassed that some of the people out there in Pretoria were the ones who were protesting and screaming fire, fire.
Mm.
These are people's parents, and that's very humiliating.
And also educated at that. And Sfiso, that's the point that I'm trying to drive through as well, is that when we start wanting to have a logical approach to it, that apply logic, but then we're speaking about spirituality, and we're also speaking about the gift, as you've indicated earlier on, that the gift is important. Hi, Sfiso.
Hello.
Hi. Yeah, you can go ahead.
I think the network is doing us down. But Adrian, there's just two things that I want to highlight. The first one, let us be not too critical of the words. Why?
Okay, Sfiso, we're going to try and get you on a different line. So that Sfiso's line can be clear. Lawrence, in the meantime, good morning.
Morning, Aldrin. How are you?
Good, good, Lawrence. How's it?
I'm very disappointed with the caller and your panelists.
Mm-hmm.
There are sentiments of judging people. There are sentiments of people saying people are so-called pastors. That is unchristian. This is not religion. This has got nothing to do with religion. This has got nothing to do with what other people are saying. Their Christ, Aldrin, let me tell you what he said. Their Christ. He said, I am the good shepherd, and I know mine own, and mine own know me, even as the Father knoweth me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. This means that whatever that other people are doing, let them. Jesus Christ himself was not critical like your panelists there, who proclaimed themselves to be ministers or so-called people that are so-called. That is why we have a fundamental problem here, that people want to come out and judge other people. Because Christ himself said, I know my own, and my own know me. So if Christ said that, who are we to say, no, that guy is a charlatan, that guy is a cult, that guy is a sect. Who are we judging?
Mm. Lawrence, are you Christian?
No, I'm not.
You're not? Okay, no, because I was going to ask that, as a Christian, do you think that you have a duty to guide?
No. Listen to what the Christ said. He said, I know my own, and mine own know me.
But you're not Christian.
There's no disparity here.
But you're not Christian.
Listen to what I'm saying. The fact of the matter is, if the people of Christ know Christ and Christ knows them, whoever that Bushiri and whoever that people, the other people who claim to be Christ people should not be pointing fingers, and because they know the Christ and the Christ know them. So whatever people are doing, it's got nothing to do with them.
Aye, Lawrence, I disagree. But you said you're not Christian. But anyway, Sfiso?
Yeah. Oh. Sorry, we lost each other there for a moment.
Yeah.
But let me quickly say, one, the socioeconomics play a big role in this whole
discussion.
Mm-hmm.
The people are vulnerable to a lot of suffering and things that have happened in their lives, and therefore are searching for hope. And a person who's searching for hope will cling to anything that promises a return or a relief from their pain. So when a pastor or so-called pastor, whatever word you want to use, demonstrates firstly that they can do certain miracles. If I am suffering with something similar, I will put my hope on that person that my turn will come. Instances that we've known of are when people are told, if you are in debt, bring your statements to the church and they will be prayed for. And of course, statements will be prayed for. If you, as a person, Adrian, put down a statement of 5,000 rand on the in the floor of the church, and the following week you get told your statement has been paid, I don't need another person to give a testimony. You will come to the front of the church. You will tell the congregation, I had a debt of 5,000 rand that was paid because Pastor Sfiso prayed for me. I don't need anything else. Then the next lot of people will come, and I just need to pick one or two. And particularly, I know, and so say this, there are those people who are ultra talkative who will then be the ones who will do the bidding for me. That's the one element to this thing. The second element to your
just quickly with the statement example that you just made, is it fair then to deduce from what you're saying that someone would come with a statement to the church and then say, Wuti, I owe 5,000 rand, and somebody in the church will then go and pay the 5,000 rand without the person who was prayed for knowing about it?
I don't even want to say somebody in the church. I would want to say somebody in the staff in the church.
Ooh.
If that is what we have set out to do.
Okay.
And that
you have one Sfiso, why your line isn't working.
To church to bring, sorry?
You see why your line is not working. Ukhulumezing izinto manje. Ukhipha iphiri.
Untsadi iphiri ndathi. And of course, you're going to come right into church to bring testimony. And because we know your statement has been paid for, we will give you an opportunity to speak in church. But then also the other element to it, I think your recent caller has touched on, and your previous tweet was asking, where is the council that judges all these things? Who determines whether Sfiso can be a pastor or not? This is where the problem has come in. It cannot be government regulated, unfortunately, because it is constitutionally, we have that element of freedom of religion.
Yeah,
and in this particular instance, immediately government tries to step in with a law, government will be tampering with our freedom of religion. So churches themselves have had organizations and groupings that assist in guiding how things are done within churches and to determine whether something is Christian or not. And unfortunately, even that itself is not regulated. So people can choose to belong to a group as my fellow panelist belongs to, or groupings such as the SACC, and others are completely independent.
Yeah.
And there's nothing that can be done except for churches to warn that these kind of things are not absolutely as what Christianity ought to be.
Okay, so we're going to go back to the power line, 0861-987-000. Please be short, brief, and straight to the point so that we can take as many calls as possible. Dumi, let's start with you. Good morning.
Greetings to you and good morning. How are you?
Good, good, Dumi.
Good. I've been listening to you, and I'm very grateful to your panel. I will have to differ with the previous caller.
Okay.
This is what I have to say. First of all, there's a difference between wisdom and intellect.
Mm.
We need to understand that Bushiri is intelligent. He's not wise.
Yeah. Yes.
Number two, we need to understand that there's a difference between crime and sin. okay? Mm-hmm. Bushiri did not sin. He committed crime.
Hmm?
And everyone who commits crime commits it against the law. Anyone who commits sin commits it against the word of God. Now, we all the followers of Prophet Bushiri should understand that if he did something, I mean, yesterday I was driving 140 kilometers per hour. I broke the law. So according to what we see, Bushiri broke the law when he did what he did. The question is, did he sin against God? I would make an example. Many people who are in prison are in prison because they broke the law, but they did not commit sin. Although sin leads to breaking the law. Now, we need to understand that people like Bushiri, my brother, although they are rich, even the book of Ecclesiastes says this thing, that they will die.
Okay.
And they brought nothing in this life. But now here's something interesting as I'm about to conclude. The Bible says, prophets prophesy lies, and pastors with an iron rod, and my people love it so. So you have to realize that it is the people who are enjoying the lies. The book of Jeremiah says then, find the ancient road, walk in it. And we, the people, are saying we will not walk in it. This is not a matter of lack of knowledge.
Okay.
It's a matter of us choosing, according to what the Bible says, in the last days, people will choose preachers that will speak what they want to hear.
Okay, just quickly. Number one, you say that he hasn't sinned. I think there is, apart from the Ten Commandments, is that you shall not steal. So the allegation against him is that there is fraud and money laundering, that is stealing. Number two as well, that the Bible also teaches us that we must respect our leaders, and including the elected leaders, and these leaders would have come up with the laws, and those laws have not been respected as an allegation. So he has sinned.
No, this is what I'm saying. The Bible says, also states, that law promotes sin.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not disputing that. What I'm saying is to hold on to the thing. I mean, the word of God does not condemn. Christ's love does not condemn. It is there for the restoration of anyone, no matter how bad they can be. But
okay.
crime or constitution convicts us for the actions of our own. Now,
okay.
what I'm trying to bring across to the people of South Africa is this. First of all, we are protecting a man who's not of our country. Who's taking the assets of our country? Both those things are wrong. Now, the question is, as my brother was saying, there is the Council of Churches. Why is not doing something about...
Okay, no, you're veering off to another point now. Patrick, good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Aldrin?
Good, Patrick.
Yes, I agree that the churches have a constitutional right of freedom of religion, but that freedom of religion should be within the bounds of the law of the Republic. So if the laws of South Africa are broken by that practicing that freedom of religion, then there's a problem. And I know the bodies like the Sierra Commission, they exercise oversight, but that oversight is exercised at a higher level. I think maybe we must think about making it mandatory for churches to have boards or councils that can exercise oversight at individual church level, and then keep the pastors in check, just in case. Yeah, just in case they tell people to go drink petrol.
Mm-hmm. Hey, that's another difficult one, because the argument then becomes that whose God or prophecies are more superior than the others. Cecil, good morning.
Morning, Alvin. How are you?
Good, Cecil.
Yeah, I'd like to concur with the first caller, you know, who said religion is culture for Jews.
Okay.
And now the sad part is that Africans forget that in 1652, Jan van Riebeck, a so-called Protestant, was the one who brought religion here in South Africa. So there's nothing we can say about it now, because now we are not responsible for the same religion.
Okay. Sipo, good morning. Hi, Sipo.
Hi, how are you?
Sure.
So, this topic, it hurts me. But let me start here. You see, the question that we are not asking ourselves is the existence of the Jesus Christ. And we also forget that the Bible in itself, it was used as a tool to subdue us as people.
It was weaponized.
If you look at the globe as a whole, each continent, they have their own religious beliefs, and that would be Christianity, Buddhist, and so forth. But here in Africa, we took on a religion, a foreign religion, and replaced our own with it. That's why we are where we are. We are arguing about things that don't even belong to us. I believe in African spirituality, and I believe that there is a God.
Okay.
And I believe that God planted his spirit in me when I was born. That's why I know the difference between wrong and right.
Okay. Sfiso, let me start off with Thamsanqa. And this is, it's veering off the point a bit, but it's this continuous contestation between what is religion and who imported religion, and whether African religion, if that thing does exist, is superior to Christianity, for instance.
Hello.
Hi, Thamsanqa. Did you get that?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Can you repeat that question again?
I'm saying that this is a constant thing that comes up once you have conversations around religion, is where you are told that whatever you're practicing in terms of Christianity is something that is imported, so it's not really African. Then there is the African religion, if indeed it does exist, and whether or not it is more superior than Christian or Christianity.
I think this topic so will take us a long way.
Yeah, the legitimacy of Christianity is always questioned.
Yes, I'm saying it will take us a long way because that argument has been debated even at the level of where we come from in universities of the origin of Christianity. People must not confuse Western Christianity with Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
What was brought to us is a Western form of Christianity, which was actually a product of colonialism. But if you know the story of Christianity and how it originated and its influence, particularly in the north of Africa, you will then understand. That's why I'm saying it's a topic for another day.
Yeah.
You will then understand that we actually are disputing the fact that Christianity is a Western form of religion. Westerners did not start Christianity. They, in actual fact, hijacked it. So that topic will need a day where we can be able to clarify and give facts and quote the scriptures so that people can have an understanding of what we are talking about.
Mm-hmm.
What we have had here as a product of missionaries was a Western form of Christianity because it was a product that came through the colonial mission. So I want us to distinguish between the two.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, as you said, it's a conversation for another day, but I just quickly want you to respond to this tweet here from Nkalala Jonas, who says that religion, psychiatry, law, psychology, school, and tertiary education all deal with the mind or with the mind of a person. That's why politicians have good relationship with all above for control of the masses.
Yeah. Interesting how people raise these questions. Yes, there are facts in some of the issues that people are raising. Remember that all these disciplines are meant to try and understand the mind of a person and meant to try and influence the thinking of people. Religion has to do with influencing the thinking of a person on how you need to follow certain rules and behave in society, guided by, of course, probably scriptures and so on. Psychiatrists and psychologists also study a discipline that has to deal with the mind and how the mind works. Mm-hmm. And that's why they can be able to tell or try to intervene when they think that a person is no longer in a proper state of thinking.
Yeah.
In terms of the conventional way of how we understand what is normal and what seems to be abnormal.
Okay, Thamsanqa, thank you so much for your time. That is Thamsanqa Mvambo, who is the Secretary General of the National Interfaith Council of South Africa. We also had Reverend Sfiso Kuzwayo, Minister at the Methodist Church, and we had Umbele as well, who joined us as a clinical psychologist. When it comes to religion, it always remains a contested space. You know, everyone has their own ideas, right, Shoki?
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.